Cadets are going to lead us in our first Bible readings this morning, which come from Hebrews chapter 2. I'm going to read the whole of the chapter, and we've split it up into two different readings, so two different cadets are going to help us with the reading. So if you'd like to come forward, cadets, Devlin and Bryce, I'm going to lead us in this message here in Hebrews chapter 2, which is talking about Jesus and talking about how he suffered and is able, therefore, to help us also. That's the theme we're going to be looking at a little bit later on, how Jesus can help us and how we need Jesus.
We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to do what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For if the message spoken by angels was blinding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. It is not to angels that he has subjected to the world to come, about which we are speaking, but there is a place where someone has testified. What is the man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor, and put everything under his feet. In putting everything under him, God left nothing that is not subjected to him. Yet at present we do not see everything subject to him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor, because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God we might taste death for he might taste death for everyone.
In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of salvation perfect through suffering. Both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers. In the presence of the congregation, I will sing your praises. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, he says, here am I, and the children of God has given me. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason he has to be made holy like his brothers in every way, so that he might become merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make an atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted.
Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to read from verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12 from verse 1. And the first two verses I'm going to read this morning are the theme verse for Cadets and Gems all over Australia for this year. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood, and you've forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Accept hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you're illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we've all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined for us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. This is the word of God. Congregation, cadets and gems, 2018 is a big year for sports around the world. And two of the biggest sporting events of the year have already happened. Who can help me out with what those were? Okay, what's one of them? The Winter Olympics, indeed. First of all, we had the Winter Olympics in South Korea with ice skating and snowboarding and skiing and the bobsleigh and lest it be forgotten, the curling. I don't know if you had a favourite event. That wasn't mine, but for our family, it was the slope style and the halfpipe skiing and snowboarding. Absolutely the best. That was the first big event, sporting event of the year. Now, what was the second one? Yeah? The Commonwealth Games, indeed. We changed temperatures, and right in our own backyard, we had the Commonwealth Games on the Gold Coast. Not quite so big on the world stage, but big on our stage. And all the usual events, track and field, as well as beach volleyball and lawn bowls, table tennis, wrestling. I must confess, I didn't watch any of the Commonwealth Games at all except 5 minutes when I visited Peter and Ina before the baptism of Esme to prepare for that. That was the 5 minutes that I had, so thank you guys for that. The reason I mention those two big sporting events of 2018, the Winter Olympics and the Commonwealth Games, is because the theme that our cadets and gems have this year is get in the game from Hebrews chapter 12, from our text. And they're asking and learning about a really important question. How do we live the Christian life? Very often in the Bible, the Christian life is pictured as a race, as a running race. Run in such a way as to win the prize, Paul says in another part of the New Testament. And it's that theme of running that stands behind our text this morning. Let me read it to you again. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And cadets and gems, as we look at these verses this morning, there are three main pictures that I think we should think about together. And here's the first picture, that we're surrounded by many inspiring people. We're surrounded by many inspiring people. If we were describing today a huge number of people gathered together in one place, what's the word we'd use to picture a whole bunch of people? What would we say? It's a crowd. Exactly right. It's a crowd of people. But back in the ancient world, they didn't speak about great crowds of people. They talked about great clouds of people. Why do they do that? Well, just maybe there's so many clouds in the sky and they stretch for as far as you can. A multitude. There's nothing special about the cloud itself. It's just a word that's used to describe lots and lots of people. But what's more important isn't how many people there are, it's who they are. They are a great cloud, or a great crowd, we might say, of witnesses. With the Olympic and Commonwealth Games having just been on and on our minds, it'd be very easy for us, I think, to think of these witnesses as being a little bit like spectators in the stadium, watching us run towards the finish line. But I don't think that's quite what's going on here. You see, for a start, they are witnesses, not spectators. A witness is someone who gives testimony in court. Counselor Nathan examines witnesses. He cross-examines witnesses. They tell the judge what they have seen or experienced. And that's what these witnesses are doing for us. Who are they? They are the people in the chapter before that we didn't read about in the great hall of faith are people like Abraham and Noah and Moses. They're people like Joseph and Sarah and Rahab and Samson. They're people of faith. They're not perfect people, but the people who trusted God and trusted that God would reward their devotion to Him and that they would win the prize after they'd finished the race. They included people who ran the race well their whole life from beginning to end. They also include people who started really badly, who stumbled over, who tripped up, who broke a leg and yet got to their feet and finished the race well. The people who have received the prize and they're telling us, keep on running. Keep on running. Don't stop, but push on. They're telling us the reward at the end is worth it. And it's in that sense that they're inspiring to us. We're surrounded by their stories, the stories of how they live their lives in dependence on God. And their stories are supposed to inspire us, to encourage us to keep on going in the race. Andrew and Marzi, we've witnessed the baptism of Eloise this morning, your daughter. And her baptism, as we can all see, isn't just a private individual thing, an individual ceremony, but something for us all. You see, we made a promise this morning. We made a promise to be a great cloud of witnesses, a great crowd of witnesses to Eloise. And you promised to lead Eloise by your example into a life of Christian discipleship, into a life of running the race and all that that means. It's a great privilege for Eloise that she can grow up amongst such a wonderful cloud of people, surrounded by many inspiring people. And it's also a great responsibility on all of us this morning, but especially upon the two of you. God's placed Eloise and your family as your child so that you could be her chief champions, her chief encouragers in the Christian faith. You're to be her first coach in the Christian life. Encourage her with your teaching. Inspire her by your example. But while that begins in the home, it doesn't end in the home either. God saw that it was very important for us to have many inspiring people in our lives, which is why He's placed us in a church. Because our children need more. They need more inspiring people than just their parents. Parents are great, but children need more. Which is one reason why we have our Cadets and Gems clubs, isn't it? So that our children would have other adults to look up to. They would have their counselors to encourage them, to inspire them in the Christian life. To all our Cadets and Gems counselors this morning, we say thank you. As a congregation, for all that you do. Thank you for being part of the great cloud of witnesses. We're surrounded by many inspiring people. And then immediately, the writer moves to a second picture, and that encourages us in this way, we're to get rid of slow you downs. We're to get rid of slow you downs. Let us throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. When my children were a lot younger, we went on an overnight bushwalk back in New Zealand with my family, my extended family, my parents, my brother, my two sisters, their spouses, their children, and our children's cousins. And I looked for a photo of all of us together, but I couldn't find one. So instead I'll show you a photo of one of the GEMS counsellors, Arwen, to show you how long ago that photo that took place. She looked so sweet back then, didn't she? But the reason I'm telling you this is because on the way back home, as I've told some of you before, I placed a big rock in my brother's backpack to slow him down. He was a teenager. He had all the energy in the world. He was racing on ahead, so I put a rock in his backpack. But it would have been mean for me not to have told him about it. So I told him about it ahead of time, just when we were getting ready to start out for the day. I said, look, brother, Rowan, I put a stone in your backpack, a big rock, just to slow you down. Because it would have been mean otherwise. If he'd gotten to the end and found this out, he would have been totally angry at me. But he thought I was tricking him, of course, and so he didn't want to open his backpack to look for it. Otherwise, he'd open his backpack and, ha-ha, made you look, you know, something like along those sorts of lines. So he carried this big rock all the way back to the car park. Cadets and Gems, do you think he was pretty happy at the end when he opened his backpack and found a rock in it? No way. He was totally unhappy. And when you're running a race, slow your downs are even worse. Which is why the writer says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Children, if you were running the school cross country, would you like to run it with a heavy backpack on or a rock in your backpack? Absolutely not. Now, what would you do? You'd get rid of it. You'd throw it out. You'd throw it off. You want to run as light as you possibly can so that you can run as fast as you possibly can. Do any of the children know how the runners used to run at the Olympic Games in the ancient world? They didn't have Nike running shoes. They didn't have Lycra running uniforms. They used to run like this. What do they have on?
Nothing.
Nothing. They have nothing on. Why do they have nothing on? Because you can run faster when you're lighter. So they took their clothes off to run even faster, which is why only men were allowed to go and watch the Olympic Games at the very beginning. Now, I'm not suggesting to you this morning that next time the school cross country comes around... See, I don't even have to finish the sentence, do I? I'm not suggesting that at all. But the point of running the Christian race is to get rid of anything that might slow you down. Throw off everything that hinders. That's what the writer says. That means anything that might make it hard for you to run fast and run well. Get rid of anything that entangles you. I know one of the counselors is a keen fisherman. Imagine trying to run a race with a fishing net tangled all over you, entangled in this net. Be terrible. You couldn't run fast. You'd trip over. No, the writer says, get rid of all the slow you downs so that you can run fast. Get rid of all the slow you downs so that you can run with perseverance. That means running so that you can keep on going and you don't give up and pull out of the race because you're finding it too difficult. What are slow you downs? Well, the writer says here that sin slows us down. Sin entangles you and makes it easy for you to trip over and break a leg. And so we get in the game and we stay in the game by working hard to fight against sin in our lives rather than giving in to sin. Because every time we give in to sin, every time we give in to something we know isn't right and we do it anyway, it makes it harder the next time. I want you to imagine an athlete who is working really hard. Maybe they're a Commonwealth Games athlete. They're going to be a runner. They want to run as fast as they possibly can. You can imagine, can't you, that they would be very careful about the things they eat, wouldn't they? They'd be really careful about that. But one day they give in and they have a Big Mac. That probably won't slow them down. One Big Mac wouldn't slow them down. And another one tomorrow won't slow them down either, probably. But if you keep eating and eating more and more Big Macs, then you're not going to win the race. You'll get out of shape. That's what sin does to us. It gets us out of shape so we can't run the Christian life very well. Makes it more likely that we'll pull over to the side and give up. What else might hinder? Boys and girls, anything that you love more than God can hinder you in the race. Could be a sport, or it could be a hobby that you play. Could be computer games, crowding out thinking about God, or something that you watch on TV, crowding out thoughts of what it means to be a Christian, what it means to follow Jesus. Anything you love more than God can hinder you in the race. And so if you want to get in the game and stay in the game, throw those things out of your life. That's what the writer's saying. So you're not just walking along slowly all tied up in knots, but running in such a way as to win the prize. And then here's the third picture the writer gives us. We're to focus on Jesus. As we get rid of the slow you downs in the Christian life, as we look to the inspiring example of other people, we're especially to focus not on the other people or the slow you downs, we're to focus on Jesus. Our eyes, you see, aren't supposed to be fixed on the other people around us as good an example as we hope they might be. Our eyes instead are supposed to be looking at the person their eyes are looking at, and that person is Jesus. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We're to fix our eyes on Jesus because Jesus is to be the center of the Christian life. He's the person we believe in. He's the object of our faith. He's the author, in fact, of our faith. We wouldn't have faith without Jesus. And he's also the perfecter, the person who makes things perfect. Sometimes, children, our faith is very weak and pretty tiny. But that doesn't matter. And the reason it doesn't matter is because Jesus gives us the faith we begin with. And he promises us to make us perfect, to give us the strength to cross the line, to finish the race, to win the prize. We fix our eyes on Jesus. He's the center of the Christian life. We fix our eyes on Jesus because he's the one who endured the cross, put up with the cross because of joy. Because of the joy of knowing what he was accomplishing. Jesus put up with the pain of death upon a cross because it gave Jesus joy to think that he was dying for you, to save you. We were Jesus' prize. We were the prize that Jesus ran the race to accomplish, to achieve, to be rewarded with. The reward for grueling out the marathon with all its pain and hardship. It brought Jesus joy. And that encourages us to run the race as we look to Jesus and what he endured for us, for our sake. It encourages us to stay in the game, even when the game gets tough. We fix our eyes on Jesus also, because he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus has a place of honor. Jesus is on the top step of the medal podium. He's there on the top place. He's run the race. He's won the race. And having won, he's staying there to encourage everyone to cross the line. He's like the coach alongside the running track, shouting on encouragement, keep on going. Or the parent alongside your football game, just encouraging you to keep on going. Of course, at the Olympic and Commonwealth Games, only the fastest runner wins the gold medal. But in this race, everyone who crosses the line wins. Everyone who finishes the race gets the medal. Life with Jesus, life forever. The best life now and the best life still to come. And Jesus invites you this morning to run this race. Maybe you came here this morning and you haven't really ever given Jesus even a second thought. But Jesus invites you this morning. He invites you to enter a race, to enlist in a race, to sign up for a race that you may not have even known that existed. And if you'd like to know more about Jesus and how to start the race, please come and speak to me afterwards. And if you're already running the race, if you came here this morning, you're already running. The race is in progress. The Bible says to us this morning, keep on running. Stay in the game, whether you are young or whether you're old, whether you've only just started the race or whether you're nearing the finish line. Because your hard work will be rewarded. There's joy along the way and there's joy at the end. The prize is worth it. So get in the game and fix your eyes on Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Dear God, please help us to fix our eyes on Jesus. It's very easy for us to get distracted and to run off course, to look at other things and find ourselves running in a sideways direction, or maybe we've turned around without realizing and run backwards. Help us to run well. And we pray that you'll help us to run well by getting rid of all the things that might slow us down and remind us what's most important. We also pray, Father, that you'll help us to help other people to start the race as well as to encourage them. We pray that you'll help us as we share our hope with other people and help them to see what a joy and a privilege and a special thing it is to run in this race for Jesus. We pray that you'll help us to encourage those around us. Help our cadets and gems to encourage one another, to encourage their counselors even, to run the race well. Help us to fix our eyes on Jesus. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.